Welcome to the Killer Frogs, the podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché, and this is episode 182 for Monday, November 14th of 2022. And on tonight's podcast, we've got TCU Hall of Famer Shannon Brazil. How you doing, Shannon?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm doing great. I'm doing wonderful. How about them frogs?
It was a fun weekend, and we're definitely going to get into that. Also joining us on the podcast this week, we've got former TCU player Nathan Hernandez. How you doing, Nathan?
I'm at like 75% right now because of the Cowboys, but still Frogs won, so you're wrong.
Yeah, I had the game recorded. I hadn't watched it yet, and Shannon broke the bad news to me. So I'm surprised my brother, who's a Green Bay fan, did not blow up my phone. So, Yeah, it is what it is, but whatever. It's the Cowboys, but we're not here to talk about the Cowboys. But on rounding out the panel who will be talking about TCU football is Nick Howard. How you doing, Nick?
Hey, what's going on? I'm 100% right now because, you know, the Steelers won. We don't care about those Cowboys. And the Frogs won. So let's go, baby.
Nick was on the podcast. He suddenly now has a connection issue.
Yeah, for
Pittsburgh
sure.
Pittsburgh Steelers. Golly, man. Well, I'll forgive you for being the chairman of the Max Duggan for Heisman Committee. Well, so thanks. It's all good. Well, tonight we're going to talk all about TCU versus Texas. Top 25 matchup. TCU goes down to Austin, comes away 17-10 victory over the number 18, University of Texas Longhorns. And at what was billed as being the second biggest record crowd, I guess, in DKR history. So, and I believe the TCU game was the number one ratings, number one rated game on TV yesterday, period. So it wasn't just those in attendance in Burnt Orange and DKR who got to see it, but the entire nation saw what the Horned Frogs were able to do against Texas. And so let's just jump right in this. And Shannon, I think the story of this game is defense put together four quarters, man.
Hey, this is what I've been saying. I've been waiting for it. I was like, if we could just put together – I've been saying it from a team standpoint, which offense was struggling, but both defenses played well. And it was going to be about the first defense who cracked, and ours did not crack. We played four straight quarters. Think about this. We shut down – the number one draft pick running back. I don't think he's better than our running back, but hey, whatever. We shut him down. You know what I mean? And so I was excited, and I said the first person who scores probably going to win that game because it was that type of defensive game all the way. But the thing about it, guys, you can see the difference in our quarterback, their quarterback, our defense, their defense. We didn't get rattled. Our quarterback, even when it wasn't going good, he didn't get rattled, their quarterback did. When things started going bad with their defense, they got rattled. And I think that's the special part about our team. We just hang in there. We hang in there. We fight until they rattle, until they break apart. And then we go ahead and shove up, you know, foots down the throats. But, man, I'm excited. I'm the future's so bright, and I'm so excited the world got to see the real Horned Frogs stand up. I don't know what to do, man.
Well, I tell you, it was something to behold, and we were wanting the defense to try to figure things out in that first half. And for those of you who didn't really watch the game, and if you're listening to this podcast, you probably did, but I think we can all agree that 17-10 final score was not indicative of how that game went. The defense only gave up 3 points the entire night and was just fantastic. And Nathan, I don't know how much better you could have expected from this TCU defense on Saturday.
Oh, I couldn't have. Like, they came out, obviously did what they did to Bijan Robinson. Quinn Ewers, you know, there's been talks about whether he's really good or if he could have won certain games for them in the past of this season with beating Alabama or whatnot. But, you know, he didn't complete a pass until the second quarter. Like, he was 0-for-8 or 0-for-7, whatever it was, early on in the game, and then we just kept on him. Like, we rattled him early on, and so I think the cold weather had a lot to do with that part, but it still, you know, it worked out for us. We ran the football effectively, and they didn't. We were just way more physical than they were.
Yeah, and to that point, both Shannon and Nathan was bringing up as well here. I mean, if you go look at Bijan Robinson, and we'll talk a little bit about, you know, Herb Street, just absolutely just, man, that dude would not shut up about Bijan Robinson being the number one running back in the nation. Bijan Robinson only had 29 yards on the night. That was it. I mean, that was an unbelievable performance. And, you know, Nick, you know, going into this game, you lose your star linebacker, probably who has been identified at least at the beginning of the season as one of the heart and soul guys on this team, with D Winters in that targeting call at the end of last week's game. You lose him for the entire first half of this game. And a lot of people were wondering, how is this defense going to be able to step up and stop somebody like Bijan Robinson? But he wasn't anywhere to be found in that game last night.
Yeah. They got guys that's always ready there. That's what Sonny Dykes has trained these guys for the whole year for, the next man step up. And nobody's jealous of who's going out. They're just the next man up mentality. And that's always been TCU's culture, is the next man up mentality. Even you seen it earlier this year with Chandler getting hurt. Here comes Max Duggan, next man up mentality. It's been like that this whole year. So nobody's hanging their heads. They're just going out there playing team ball and just doing what they need to do.
Well, and let's talk a little bit about Max since you brought him up, Nick. And the first half was not pretty for Max, and he did need to kind of get calmed down just a little bit. There were several passes in that first quarter that were, you know, unfortunately really low to his intended target. But how do you feel about, I mean, given the fact that it wasn't a stellar night for either quarterback, though, how do you feel about Max's determination in this game?
Well, what else can you say about his determination? He just keeps on proving it night in and night out that he doesn't care. He doesn't care about his career after this. He just cares about winning for TCU right now. So that's the only thing that's in his eyesight right now. So it's just good to see a quarterback like that just taking charge, never getting rattled, staying level-headed, and just going out there and making sure he's keeping his guys level-headed as well.
And Shannon, to that end, I don't know if you saw this in the post-game interviews that were actually going around. They were asking Max about that fumble that happened that turned into that scoop and score for Texas, which was the only touchdown of the night for Texas, which was a defensive score. And Max put it on his shoulders and he said, look, you know, I made a mistake. I read something and he went to pull the handoff to Miller and fumbled the ball. But he gave credit to that defense and the rest of the guys by saying, I'm just glad I'm surrounded by all these guys who bailed me out. How much, I mean, that's got to count for something in that locker room.
It's the whole chemistry. It's the whole the trust factor. It's the whole family factor. Those guys, they're playing, listen, they love their quarterback. And they see what he puts out week in and week out, as Nick says. They're going to play for a guy like, they're going to, as we say, leave it out on the field, dial the filter, whatever you got to do on the gridiron. They're going to do that for that guy because they see him running through a brick wall week in and week out. So they got his back. I think the defense was playing for Matt because they saw what he was going through. They saw we had guys, all he needs is a little bit more time on the line in the pocket. We had guys when they did the wide view, we have guys running wide open. I mean, they're running wide open all night. He just couldn't get them the ball. With our offensive line, I mean, it was my goodness. I mean, it is what it is, but they had a couple. I mean, listen, I can't say that number 80, I can't think of the man's name coming off the edge, Scott Free, that he's a beast and he's all that. He came Scott Free 90% of the night. He was unblocked. So, yeah, I mean, but hell, I know a lot of people off the street who can make those plays when nobody touches him and he's coming straight free. So I couldn't understand why we couldn't get him blocked. And at some point, I guess we kind of figured that out, but Max – he hung in there and did what he needed to do to get us over the top. And so that's, you got to respect him. I know that's why he says what he says, because it's genuine and those guys respect him. And you'll play your heart out for somebody you respect.
Well, and going back to respect, D Winters has a lot of respect on this team. And for him being gone in that entire first half because of that targeting penalty, how proud are you with those linebackers stepping up and playing like they did?
I'll be honest with you. I didn't really notice it until they panned in on him on the sideline, because we were like, it's like he was, and it's not a knock, because that's what you want to say. He wasn't missed. You know what I mean? If he was missed, I mean, we don't have any depth. We have nobody who can step up and play and take a spot. But those guys were playing. The linebackers made it beautiful to see. I finally saw the full scope of how the defense was supposed to work, because when those linebackers are all playing downhill, when the snap of the ball, they were already in their gaps. I mean, it was beautiful. So I finally got to see a true, you know, 3-4 kind of, you know, what it's supposed to do when you're firing and you're blitzing, you're bringing everybody. It looked beautiful last night. So his backup, the linebacker core did great. And then when Winter, I couldn't wait to get him in, because now you got fresh legs, and I know he was eager to get in. And it just helped the defense finish off strong, you know, pitch a shutout.
Yeah, I mean, that really was about as close as pitching a shutout as you can get. I mean, only giving up 3 points to this
3 points. You know, yeah,
vaunted Texas offense. And going into this, you know, Nathan, you bring up Ewers, and this guy has his hot streaks and his cold streaks. And I don't know how much of what we saw last night was a cold streak from Ewers, but this defense was flying around, and there was not a whole lot except for that one pass he missed to Bijan Robinson on that wheel route that was open, that he did a check down to. There was not a whole lot open for Ewers from this defense, and TCU seemed to just be taking it to them every chance they could get.
Yeah, I mean, our coverage just did a great job. We won our D-line with winning the line of scrimmage. You really saw that on both sides of the ball, or both sides. Like, their D-line was beating our O-line. Our D-line was beating their O-line. For most of the game, obviously it was just going to be come down to who broke first. But yeah, our defensive back did a great job blanketing their receivers, not letting them be more physical than us, you know, and ultimately just came down to just that whole being physical thing, because that's like one of the most satisfying things is Texas. Everybody, you know, they were a 7-point favorite over the number 4 team in the country. Like, everybody just wants to hit them in the mouth at that point. Like, so just to see us be more physical is just so satisfying. And that's what we saw all night.
Well, and on top of that, you're talking about who broke first. I tell you what, that defensive line for Texas is fantastic. And I think next to Texas Tech, they have some of the best talent on that line, player for player, in the Big 12. I don't think we're going to see another line like that until we play Iowa State, but that's mainly because just how that group actually plays together as a unit. Overall, though, as far as the team that broke first, it was that defensive line, and it was on the back of Kendre Miller. What an amazing performance by Miller.
Wonderful, wonderful play by him. Listen, the depth, man, I'm just excited that, you know, nobody that I know of came out of the game hurt on either side of the ball. You know, we got a task, you know, next week. But right now, it's just that game proves so much. I think you thought the camaraderie was, you know, up to this level. Now it's been shot through the roof. Like, that team is riding on a high right now. And so, and I did find out, I know in our podcast, I said, I hope that coach shut down practice and let nobody in. I found out he did do that, right? So, which is good. I just think the focus level for this team, the defense, the offense, the coaching staff, was wonderful. I mean, we saw, for the most part, a complete game. Obviously, like I said, the offense on both sides was struggling. So I love to see a good defensive game. I mean, I think I picked 30-35, right? I think all the scores were up pretty freaking high. So I don't think nobody got close to that. So I don't know. It was just a great game, man. I'm still on cloud nine.
Well, I think the over-under was 66 points last night. So,
right, it was.
We didn't get anywhere near that. But no, that was – I thought it was going to be the same thing. I mean, everybody was thinking this was going to be a shootout and that neither defense was going to show up the way that they did. I mean, it's obvious that, you know, as much as we want to talk about, you know, the other elephant in the room, which was Gary Patterson, who was strutting around in a burnt orange visor all night long.
So weird.
I mean, it's obvious he had this defense – I know he doesn't run the defense, but it's obvious that the fingerprints of what he was able to bring from watching film and watching TCU, and he's been at several games for us over the last couple of weeks scouting us out. It's obvious that paid off for Texas last night. But in the end, it was amazing to see again a Sonny Dykes team absolutely frustrate the other team that has Gary Patterson on the sideline.
Hey, man, I kept telling people, I said on our show last week, I said it on Clarence Hill showed up the other day. I said, listen, everybody's talking about Gary. He mentioned it. He brought up Gary. I said, you forget. Sonny, Coach Dykes is 0-2. I mean, 2-0 against Coach. And I said, now 3-0. I mean, 3-0. Exactly. Now 3-0. And so, you know, hey, it is what it is. We, you know, I wasn't worried about that because Coach has his number. And it was just good to see. It was kind of awkward seeing him hug everybody. It was kind of, I mean, it was no conversation at all, just like hugs and bye, hugs and bye. It was the weirdest thing I seen all night, but hey, it is what it is.
Well, Nathan, to that point, how did you feel about seeing Coach Patterson, you know, go up to some of those players and some of those coaches? It did seem a little awkward.
I mean, I expected it because, you know, he recruited like guys like Max. Spent a lot of time here with them, trying to develop them, and just investing in their future. So I expected him to kind of do that. I mean, it's a hard situation regardless, whether it was – because I'm sure he doesn't blame those players for him leaving, for him not being there necessarily. So I think he genuinely does want to see the best out of some of those players that he helped recruit bring in, like, especially guys like Max where – it's a guy that you just like can't really root against. So I think he was genuinely happy. But, yeah, I mean, conversations with Coach B were awkward sometimes. So it just kind of looks like that from the outside.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised that he did it. I was totally expecting, you know, those players to go up and talk to Coach P. Because, I mean, even the guys, Shannon, Nathan, you guys who actually played for him, I mean, you guys still have a relationship with him. And I totally was expecting that too. I just wasn't expecting the awkwardness of all of that. It was almost like, you know, seeing your ex at a party and you knew that your ex was going to be there. But right. Still, it was still awkward. It was a very kind of awkward kind of a situation. And, you know, I think a lot of TCU fans are a little upset just because of how Patterson left the program. And the fact, I think more than likely the fact that he actually went to Texas among all the other opportunities that are out there. But, I mean, I understand, you know, what he did from a professional standpoint. But it just feels a little weird seeing him strut around on that sideline with that burnt orange visor on. Although, I will admit, it was nice to see that he at least took that off for the photo opportunities at the end of the game.
Yeah, you got to remember, like, the cameras are on him the whole time. Like, you got to... So everybody's looking at the way you interact with them. So it is going to be awkward. It's a forced situation in general.
Yeah. Well, forced is probably the best way to put it. It did seem a little bit forced. But in the end, Shannon mentioned, Coach Dykes 3-0 against a team that Coach Patterson is on the sideline coaching. This was one of those games, though, you know, from an offensive standpoint. And let's talk about this, Nick. Max has been one of those quarterbacks that he hasn't been the flashiest, right? He hasn't been the most over the top when it comes to stats. He's had amazing stats, no doubt about it, but he's not one of those guys that just has a game where he's just kind of gone off and done, you know, crazy things like 7 touchdowns or something like that, that a lot of people that are in the Heisman hunt have. But he has a team around him that really kind of insulates the need for this one kind of breakout player. This is a complete unit. And how much of that unit was galvanized by the return of Quentin Johnston last night?
Oh, it was huge. It was huge. Not like that he didn't have other guys that's going to step up. You know, you still got your Darius Davises and Tay Barbers out there just running across the middle, catching passes and stuff. But it was good. Just to have that deep threat, because you know Quentin's going to go down and get the ball. But I'm going to say it like this: this was what Dak would look like if he had weapons like this. You know, Dak doesn't have weapons like TCU weapons. I'm just going to go out there and say it. Okay. So I know Shannon and Nate's probably mad.
You take that with a grain of salt from a Steelers fan.
All we got is money.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not here to defend Dak Prescott. Against the likes of you.
I know.
But since we're talking about quarterbacks as well, I also wanted to bring up about Quinn Ewers. Things are kind of looking kind of grim for him. I'm not going to lie. Hmm. Having this type of season, they go 6-4. Right, they're 6-4 right now. And I guarantee how many wins they're going to get left. And then you got to think about Arch Manning coming in next year. Mm-hmm. And that's is he going to compete for that? Is he going to up and leave again, just like how he did at Ohio State? So it's going to be interesting to see what Quinn Ewers do from here.
Well, and to that point, I mean, anybody who wants to go and check out the the Texas fan board, you know, Surly Horns was just an absolute laugh riot last night. I mean, they were comparing him to Swoops, and they were already to, you know, just declare this season over and bench him and just have Arch Manning come in, and they were ready to go ahead and king that poor kid. And I can't imagine a more ridiculous situation to throw a freshman into, especially a guy who's going to forego his last playing year at high school, right? He's going to forego that, and he's going to be in spring training for Texas. Yeah. I mean, I hope that I really do. I really hope the young man does well. Never wish ill on any particular player, except for when they play at Horned Frogs, obviously. But
sure,
I can't imagine a more ridiculous situation to throw an 18-year-old into with this fan base than that. And, you know, Quinn Ewers is not a bad quarterback. Not at all. I mean, how many times have we had, even at TCU, I mean, you know, going back, Nathan, when we had Trayvon, that first year when Trayvon was transitioning, everyone was just like, nope, make him a running back. Yep. We don't want him as a quarterback. And then he had weapons, right? And we had a good offensive scheme that actually used him. We go back to Max last year. There was a lot of talk. Heck, Max wasn't even the starting quarterback at the beginning of the season.
Right? Exactly.
I mean, yeah. Chandler Morris was the guy. And you have a completely different team, completely different staff, and a different game plan. And who knows what Quinn Ewers can actually do. But, yeah, it doesn't look good for him at the moment.
Yeah. This is why programs like that, their success is very short-lived, because they let their fans decide what's going to happen. Nick Saban, he could care less of who the fans want to start. He's going to start who he wants to start. So when you constantly rotate quarterbacks and stuff like that, it doesn't last. They all want to, especially with transfer portal nowadays, it's so easy for them to leave. Like, they don't have to put up with that.
No. Well, and that also just adds to what we're doing here at TCU, what Sonny Dykes and the staff has been able to do, because we could have lost a whole lot more players to the transfer portal after Patterson left. But having these guys come in, and this, I will sing the praises to our board. And Shannon, your guy, LT, was one of the guys who was adamant that Sonny Dykes was going to be the guy. And I'll admit, I was kind of in the camp that disagreed with him on that. But him and the rest of those guys, they stuck to their guns, and they brought him in. And I think that between that sort of level foundation, like you're talking about, Nathan, we knew, hey, this is going to be our guy. This is what we're going to be able to do. I think that kind of helped solidify what was happening in that locker room. And we didn't have as many transfers out. And the ones that we did, well, guess what? I mean, we can talk about, you know, he who shall not be named. But my goodness gracious, the guys who left, well, I don't really see them playing very much on Saturday. And the ones that I do, I bet they kind of wish they stuck around.
That's what I was thinking too. I had those same thoughts as I watched football this weekend and watched some of these teams that had our, you know, these superstars on there, supposed, you know, whatever you want to call them. But no disrespect to them, but you know, they're sitting back watching that game against Texas. It's nationally televised, and I'm like, I wonder what's going through their heads right now, sitting there 10-0, you know, rocking and rolling. And you know, they went thought that, I always say, man, once you think the grass is green on the side, it may be greener, but it has poop in it too. It's just here. You know. So I'm just like, hey man, you might as well just stay on this side and ride it out. But hey, it is what it is. You buy in or you buy out. And you know, and I love it, you know. And again, Coach Dykes, and he could call him Sonny, but Coach Dykes, I mean, if you saw at SMU, he turned that program around with those 2 years, and he were, you know, at least to play the big dogs, which was us at the time. They played up, and he got people coming, and they started getting hot over there. It's just he didn't have as much talent. I mean, it's still SMU, and then he gets over here and inherits a bunch of talent. And first year, I mean, who does this first year out the gate? Like who? Like I can't think.
Nobody.
Who does this?
He's already broken records.
Way, like, who does?
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Does.
Like this is like
head coach. Nobody
to respond.
Teach him in tummy first.
Yeah, I mean, as a first-year head coach in the Big 12, nobody has won 10 straight. Nobody's gone 10-0. At TCU, this is – I think this is a record now. I think 9-0 tied a record, and I think 10-0 actually broke a record for a first-time head coach. I mean, going back to, like, the 30s, for goodness sakes. Real quick, since we're talking about records, how crazy is this stat? TCU now has more double-digit win seasons since the year 2000 than Texas A&M has had in their entire history of playing football.
Wow. Love it.
Isn't that nuts?
That's crazy.
Man, I tell you, that's an awesome stat. But, you know, going back to this, Shannon, you've been in practices. How much of a difference does a guy like Sonny Dykes, you mentioned how he turned things around at SMU for 2 years, but how much of his attitude and the way that he actually is coaching these players and the way that he actually manages the players in this current state of college football with the NIL and the transfer portal, how much of that is actually playing into this?
A lot of it, because he knows what he's doing. That's he did it at SMU with the transfer portal, and now he's doing it over here. And the other thing about it, the kids are responding to him. He's saying things that they respond to. It's nothing that he says to where people, you know, even think they're not thinking about leaving, or I'm not playing, or I'm not getting any time, or blah blah. None of that's going on. So whatever he came in first day and addressed the team, just team and players, they've bought in. And so with inviting everybody back and making everybody feel involved in the things that he's doing with the student body as well, it's awesome. It's worked. The formula works. His formula works. Whatever it is that he asked them to buy into, we're seeing the fruits of the labor. We're seeing it. The people are seeing it. We're feeling it. You know, I'm hearing people say the same thing we've been saying this whole time. I was speaking to a young lady who's from Texas. She said, something about y'all's team is special. Something is special. She couldn't put her hand on it either, just like we could, you know. And so it's beautiful to see. And it's all, you got to start with Coach. You start with the top, which is Coach Dykes, and it goes all the way down to the players.
Well, to that point, Nathan, I know we were talking about this last week during the home game, and you kind of ran into some of your former teammates. And, you know, Shannon and I, we're a little bit, a couple of decades removed from, you know, the current state of college football, and you've played within the last decade. So how's your ex-teammates viewing this? Are they seeing the same thing out of Coach Dykes?
We all love it. Like, it gets us excited just because of, especially it was coming from my class where we got, you know, screwed over by the playoff committee before, and just kind of were always overlooked. We love it. We love the attention that they're finally able to get. Like, big new kickoff is going to be at Baylor next week. That's four hosting shows or whatever this season. Like, just the fact that they're finally getting some recognition. Obviously, like, when we got ranked seventh, like, it was kind of expected. Like, they just don't respect us as much as they should. But, you know, like, they can't hide from the truth for much longer. You know, obviously the rest of the season has to play out the way it has to play out. But as of right now, you know, it's good for it. We're all excited. We love coming around, being around that environment again. And it's, yeah, everyone's just like, again, it goes back to that culture change. We're now not on edge the entire time we're there. Like, we're still like kind of fresh out. So it's kind of weird to be there and not get yelled at, or like not feel like you have to be somewhere, or like you're going to get yelled at. And so to come back and see people smiling at practice and people just like welcome you with open arms, like immediately as soon as you walk in the door, it's so much more enjoyable.
Well, I think it kind of goes back to, you know, changing the perception of who TCU is. I mean, if you go back to, you know, Shannon's days of playing, TCU was not respected in any way, shape or form. We were roaming the desert, but his team set us up big. Those guys got us on the map with that win against USC. And for what Patterson was able to do after he took over the team and walked us through the WAC and Conference USA and the Mountain West Conference, and then eventually getting us into the Big 12, and then having you guys come along 2 years into the Big 12 and your team doing what you guys did, and putting us on a national level of a conversation about is TCU good enough to put into the inaugural college football playoffs? And yeah, we got snubbed. I don't think there's any doubt about it. I think that just was another one of those notches. You have what happened in 98. You have what happened, you know, since 2000 and in 2010 with the Rose Bowl and 2014 with the college football playoffs. And now here we are in 2022. And yeah, it's unfair that we have to wait 22 years to finally get the recognition that we need. But I think this team has taken that next step, that next evolution in the program.
Yeah. I agree with you. Being that we're talking, you know, 2000 up, fast forward up to now, it's always been those hurdles, right? This is, to me, as you were saying, this is the next step. This is that next national step I believe we just took. We have two more games to finish it off and see, you know, we'll see what happens. But, you know, again, I'm going to go back to now we beat Texas, we got to beat Baylor. I'm gonna stick to, you know, we got two more games. We got to take care of this one. And as we said last week, yeah, they screwed us, but now it's in our own hands. Our destiny is in our own hands. Nobody can screw us but us right at this point, because if we do what we're supposed to do, they can't screw us. You know what I mean? It's just, they have to let things play out, because it's, you know, because it is what it is at that time. So I just think this is that next step. And I think to make TCU really that program to where people are like, okay, these guys are legit year in, year out. They're a legit program. They can hang with the big boys, you know? So that's my thought on it.
Well, I know we're recording this before the next college football playoff rankings come out. And I don't perceive much changing in the top four at this point, but Nick, you know, I think to Shannon's point, he's right. I think that there was among the committee members last week, I think there was this kind of thought that, you know what, we'll rank them in four. Sure. Mm-hmm. They're going to get on Texas. Texas will take care of this TCU problem for us. But in doing so, they took all the pressure off this team, if there was any there. And I'm not entirely sure that this team really cares about rankings at this point. But to Shannon's point, they put our own destiny in our hands.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like everybody else said, they don't care about Fort Worth. They don't care about us, you know. We're just gonna continue to prove them wrong. We're just gonna continue to play TCU brand of football and continue to just go out there and just show the world that y'all say there's levels to this, but we're gonna keep knocking down those levels, and we're gonna keep going, reaching the top.
Well, and you know, it's interesting about TCU. And I think that this is something that the school needs to do a better job of, is that if you look at the history of this school, the 30s, the 40s, and the 50s, and yes, we're talking about, you know, under 100 years ago, but we're still talking, you know, 70, 80 years ago. If you're talking about the teams back during the time where college football was kind of in its heyday, and when it first got started, TCU contributed as much, if not more, than most of these, quote, blue chip programs that everyone wants to talk about. And as you know, Herb Street keeps talking about brand name, you know, that sort of BS subjective kind of metric that everyone wants to talk about on the conference and the committee. For 30 years, TCU was one of the absolute dominant teams in the Southwest Conference. And yeah, going away mid-60s all the way through up until a point where Shannon enters the scene here. Yeah, TCU, unfortunately, just didn't really do much. But the last two decades, this team has shown that we were a blue chip. We are a blue chip. And I think we deserve that respect again.
I'm with you. I concur. I think they deserve it. I think they're going to get it. And if not, they're going to take it. You know, it just is what it is at this point. This team is they're the team you saw. Last night, that's who they are, and they're getting better to me. Like, we were waiting for that complete game, like I said, on defense. We had some hiccups on offense, but to see that defense roster occasion, now we know what they're capable of moving forward. Now, because I've been told all the way up to this point, your defense is weak, your defense is this, your defense is that. You're giving up too many points. Well, guess what? When it's time to buckle down to it, and everything's on the line, we showed them what we're capable of doing. So that's all that matters. We're a team that is very capable of winning on any given night against anybody in the country. That's just what it is.
And it's contagious to other sports programs as well. You look at basketball, they're doing good. I'm not going to speak on women's basketball. Sorry, Coach Peebly. Love you. Track is doing good. Soccer is doing good, you know? So it's just contagious.
Rifle team continues to shoot straight. So
yeah, stay out of their eyesight because they will shoot you.
They're very accurate.
I can tell you, they're killing it. But yeah, I mean, you know, Nathan, we're, you know, and Shannon said we've been waiting for that four quarter defensive game, then we finally got one out of this defense. But it was the guys that we weren't necessarily expecting. Yeah, you know, Hodges Tomlinson is always going to be in the mix when you're talking about one of the greatest defensive backs in TCU history. Yes, he was awesome. He was great last night. But you had guys like Clark, Banks stepping up big time. Horton had an unbelievable game against that front line. And given the fact that you had guys like D. Winters out for an entire half, you had guys like Perry and Hodges step up. And these guys, I think Shannon's right, they're getting better every week, and this is exactly when you want to see this team get hot.
Absolutely. Like, it goes to the fact of I don't want to have a team where we have one amazing player and then that's it. Because if that player goes out or gets hurt or gets ejected, whatever, then we're kind of screwed. But when you have everybody kind of stepping up and you have, like, guys that can step up here and there when it's needed, like when those big-name players go out, it just makes your team just that much better. Because, you know, there's not – like, obviously, with this past weekend, it happens where everybody's clicking and everybody's doing well and we just out-physical the team. But you're going to have those games where someone's having a bad game and we need somebody else to step up and cover for them a little bit, or even come off the bench and do well. And I speak a lot of it to, like, how our run game is. Like, you know, we have Miller. He's arguably the best running back in the country. But if he can't go for some reason or whatever, if he gets tired, Amari's coming in, going to do the exact same thing. Like, it just – like, Bailey. That's – what happened?
I said or Bailey. Sorry, go ahead.
Or Bailey or Battle. It's just like we have, like, those guys that can just come off or come in the game and just kind of do the same thing and keep that level of competitiveness up. The most frustrating thing, and I was talking about it last night with my old teammates, is when we played Oklahoma and their backup running back was just torching us, that's when we knew the game was over. Because it was like, it's the end of the game and the starter's out, but now this guy's just going off on us. So it's the same thing with our running backs and our defense and our other players. Is when all these other guys are stepping up, it kind of diminishes everything that you're kind of having hope for.
Well, you certainly saw that out of the Texas defensive line late in the game. When, you know, the game's on the line, it's late in the fourth quarter, and Miller goes out with a hand injury. They're looking at him. They're attending to him on the sideline, and Amari comes in, and he's ripping off 7-8 yards on a first down run. You could see the frustration out of those Texas D linemen.
Yeah, I don't know who said it, but they I think it was on our defense where they said that they could hear the Texas players yelling at each other. And as a player, when you see or hear that, you already know you've won because you're already in their head.
Yeah, and they certainly were in their head. And goes back to what Shannon was saying, right? Who broke first? I don't see this team, this TCU team, breaking. We've been talking about the bend, don't break defense. I think that's the entire mentality of the team. I think the team realizes, hey, we're not going to win every single down. We're going to try. We're going to do our best to try to win every single down. But, you know, hey, it's going to happen. But you know what? As a team, as a unit, we're going to get through this, and we're going to get better on the next one. And I think you're right, Shannon, whoever that nameless Texas fan you talk to, there is something special about this team.
Yeah, it is. Bottom line, and again, I mean, I wore my purple Alamo Bowl jumpsuit to church, and at least 10 people come up to me. Oh, I was scared last night. That big win, or I went to TCU. Did you go to TCU? Or just like in church now, before the service and after the service. So I said, the purple, all you have to do is wear purple nowadays. You have fans everywhere. So it was good to see at church they were still celebrating and they were still you know, people just proud to be a part of the TCU in some way, form, or fashion.
Well, you know, to that point, our lead pastor at our church is a University of Texas fan. And whenever UT wins, he somehow seems to fit it into the sermon. And, you know, I'm on the media team for our church. So I was thinking that, you know what, maybe I should get up there a little early because I'm not serving this weekend. But maybe I should get up there a little early and put a little purple tie or something on his microphone for him just to kind of deal with. But I didn't end up doing that. But oddly enough, he didn't bring up the college football games this morning in his sermon. So yeah. It was also an interesting day at church. But it was a great game, I think, from top to bottom. It wasn't the offensive game that I think a lot of TCU fans were hoping to see, but it was the defensive game that we have been waiting for all season long. We've been waiting for this TCU team to finally make a statement over the last several years, and these guys finally stepped up and they did it, and they did it in a big way on a huge stage at the best possible time. That win, Shannon, we were talking about this before the podcast, that win is going to reverberate and pay dividends for years to come.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. It helped us out from a recruiting standpoint. People who are probably on the fence, but with TCU now may say, hey, I'm going to rethink this, whatever the case may be. It just helps when you have that type of win on that type of stage. It does wonders for your institution.
It's going to be fun to see how things pan out for the rest of the season. But as we've already mentioned several times tonight, there is one more game in front. Well, two more games in front of us, but as far as this team is concerned, there's one more game in front of
us. One more game.
Looking at it one week at a time. And that is against the Baylor Bears on Saturday in Waco, Texas, in the toilet on the Brazos. And this is going to be an 11 o'clock start. And I think, Nathan, you mentioned this before. It's the Fox kickoff show is going to be there, right?
Yeah, Big Noon Kickoff. The one that was there for Texas Tech is going to be at Baylor, too.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's going to be interesting. Do we know if Joel Klatt's going to be calling that game as well?
I don't know. I would assume so, just because he loves TCU and probably wants to call it. But
well, he loved TCU until this last week. He actually picked Texas over us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder how he feels about that.
I don't know.
Those guys are wishy washy.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I know some of you didn't go down, but were you watching the broadcast with Herb Street last night?
Oh yeah.
Oh man.
Too much, man. Too much.
You could literally see the man breaking on camera as the quarters ticked away. it was beautiful.
Yes.
He must have lost some money.
He's one of those guys that you don't want to watch the game if your team is losing. You don't want to hear him talk about it.
No, not at all. As I kind of mentioned, it was maddening to hear him even in the fourth quarter, where I think Bijan still had like 20 yards to his name. We're talking about how he's the best back in the nation, but by the end of the night, he wasn't even touching that anymore. So it was good to see. It was good to hear, and I absolutely just loved watching the man break on national television. It was a sight to behold, and I'm here for it. So this season has been unbelievable, and it continues again on Saturday against Baylor. So let's talk about what we expect from the game and what your predictions are going to be. And Nick, let's go ahead and get started with you. What do you think is going to happen on Saturday?
You know, I don't never take these predictions serious, man.
I still want to hear what you have to say.
I'm going to go with the score of the Baptist Bears scoring 45 with Two Cold University scoring 35.
Whoa. I know you don't take it serious, but you see the way our defense just played? You talking about 45 points. Now, how would our defense go from that to this in one week?
I'm going to switch it up. Please
explain that.
He's doing a little reverse psychology thing.
I've been doing it all season long.
I get that. You can stick with that, but go like 10-15 or something like, or because we're gonna score now. We're gonna have two bad weeks. So, but we defense definitely not gonna go backwards that much.
All right, we're going 25-35, Two Cold University.
Okay. All right. So then what about, all right, Shannon, what do you think is going to happen?
Listen, this is what I'm saying. I'm only going to go week to week what I see. I don't think Max can have too bad. I don't think the offensive line can play that bad 2 weeks in a row on, you know, when they're getting that much closer to you know, conquering the mission. I don't think Max is going to, you know, go for another first quarter or whatever it was without a touchdown pass. So, you know, I've got us scoring, you know, 37-20, somewhere around there. 37-17, how about that? We're going to hope that Baylor's not going to have a field, even though they're fast. But, again, we're not going to overlook them. We've done our part as far as week to week, not overlooking the opponent in front of us. Baylor's the next opponent. We've got to focus on them. And trust me, I don't like Baylor. I hate Baylor worse than I hate Texas. So we definitely got to win this game.
No, I agree with that. Nathan?
You know, like I was just saying, it's a Big 12 game. It's Baylor. These games with us and them are always, not always, sometimes obviously we blow them out like we did with Kyle. But they can go either way. Like, they can either be a really good game or they can be a blowout, like I said. So it's kind of hard to pick this one, especially after last year where we gave them that one loss when they were doing really well. So I'm obviously taking TCU. I think it's going to be like 35-21. I don't know. I think it'll be close for a lot of it, though.
All right. Yeah. I don't know. Call me optimistic. I'm always kind of optimistic on these. I'm the exact opposite of Nick when it comes to predictions. But I don't know. There was something that I saw out of that team on Saturday, and I think, you know, we talked about they've bought in. There's no doubt about it that they bought in, but I think they now believe in each other. I think there was something about this defense winning in the trenches that they did on Saturday. And I agree with Shannon. I don't think Max is going to have the same game twice, especially against this Baylor defense, which doesn't have as talented of a line as either Texas or Texas Tech. I think the offensive line is going to give them the time. And I think those receivers that we've got that we saw running wild, as Shannon mentioned on Saturday, they're going to run wild again on you know, this week against Baylor. So I'm going to say TCU 45 and Baylor 13.
There you go. I'm with it. I love it.
So I love it. We'll see what happens. It'll be a good one. Hopefully it is one of those blowouts, Nathan, and not one of those closer games that we've had in the past. But Baylor has every reason to absolutely again call this one their Super Bowl of the season. They have something to play for, and whenever you get Baylor at home, weird things happen. But overall, I'm looking forward to this game and really am thankful for the season that we've actually had. It's been a hell of a ride, and I can't wait for it to continue. So with that, I think we've come to the end of the podcast. I want to thank everybody out there listening to us. Of course, you can find the Killer Frogs podcast on Apple, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify. And, of course, you can go to killerfrogs.com and read all about TCU athletics from the Fan Zone. Or, you know what, go to the forum, sign up for a free account. Let us know what you think the predictions are going to be against Baylor. And if anybody calls it the Revivalry, I'll ban you. Just saying it right now. So with that, we've come to the end of the podcast. It's time where we all get our frogs up and we get to say,
Go Frogs.
Go Frogs. Max for Heisman.